Here's a quote from Gershon Baskin, the Middle East director of the International Communities Organization and former Israeli peace negotiator. It's from the Times of Israel article that was published yesterday. He wrote, "This war must end now. The hostages must come home. Israel needs to put on the table an offer that Hamas won't refuse. Both sides have lost this war. There is no winner. Both sides have been damaged and traumatized, probably beyond repair, for decades to come. There has never been a military solution to this conflict." Gershon Baskin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You could feel the reading that article you wrote yesterday. You could feel the pain coming through every word. Who was listening?
Well, I hope a lot of people. My articles get read all around the world and are quoted, and I have a following. I've been doing this work for more than 45 years. So I hope that people are listening, and I hope that people of consequence are listening in the governments around the region, in Israel and in Palestine. But mainly I want to talk to the Israeli and the Palestinian people and get us off this high point of seeking more war and more destruction and more death. We both have such a deep need for revenge. It seems that we've stopped to think rationally and logically and think about how we need to create a reality in which we live for this land rather than die for it.
You also wrote in your blog, "How can any Palestinian live with the knowledge of the atrocities committed in their name against Israelis, their neighbours?" I imagine, though, that after all that's happened, many Palestinians who did care about that on October the 7th, they probably don't know.
I imagine that you're right. In the next paragraph, I also talked about how can any Israelis live with the knowledge that we have killed 32,000 people or more in Gaza, the majority of them non-combatants and women and children. We've both crossed moral red lines here in this conflict. We've done things to each other which are unimaginable, and we need to stop. We need to stop, and we need to find out. There are 7 million Israeli Jews and 7 million Palestinian Arabs living on this land between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, and that reality is not going to change. We're all here. No one's going anywhere. No one is giving up their right to be on this land or to have self-determination. And it's time that we begin to take ourselves seriously, and we expect the international community to take us seriously. I'll give you an example. Ireland is one of the countries which is best known for their strong support of Palestine. 30 years after the peace process began, why hasn't Ireland yet recognized the state of Palestine? If Ireland supports a two-state solution, why not help us to make it real? Remove the veto on Palestinian statehood from Israel. This is a determination that the international community has already made, that the two-state solution is the solution here. I thought it disappeared. I thought it's no longer viable in the last years, and now it's back on the table. So let's make it happen.
U.S. President Joe Biden has said he's outraged by the, and it wasn't just one strike, it was three strikes, it seems, on the three different vehicles that were being used by World Central Kitchen. So he says he's outraged. This war, this conflict in Gaza is costing him votes he badly needs in this election year. But he's going to keep on sending arms to the IDF, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. They sent a very large shipment recently. And certainly, if President Biden wanted to end this war, he could notify the Israelis that that would be the last shipment of arms that are coming to Israel. Of course, I would caveat that and say that if Israel is attacked by Iran or by Iranian proxies, then maybe that decision needs to be considered. But the United States should not be fueling this war anymore. The Israelis and the Palestinians need to figure out how to end it diplomatically with the help of our neighbors in the region, Egypt and Jordan and the Emirates and Bahrain and the Saudis and the Qataris, and everyone needs to get together around a table, maybe in an international conference, to figure out how we move away from war. But again, the hostages need to come home, and we need to arrive, the Palestinians need to arrive at a situation where Hamas is not going to govern Gaza anymore. A good Palestinian friend of mine says that we need a situation in Palestine where there's no longer Hamas in power and no longer Abbas in power. They need political reform and they need elections. Mm-hmm. They need to choose new leaders. And God knows we need to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu and his right-wing extremist government.
And there have been growing protests against Mr. Netanyahu and his government. But he doesn't appear to be keen on going anywhere anytime soon.
No, he's not. He knows that as long as he can prolong this war, he can prolong his stay in government. He's facing criminal charges already that have been going on in court for years. But this is more serious than ever before. And I expect that as the war continues without any political goal in sight, which Netanyahu refuses to set, the more and more Israelis will take to the streets. We will have marches of the millions in Israel demanding new elections. And that's just beginning right now. We feel the pressure building. And of course, it's linked to the demand that the government make a deal to bring the hostages home. They've been there for almost 6 months, and probably a majority of them are no longer alive.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because you've been saying repeatedly and writing repeatedly that the hostage releases are the key to solving this. There's been an awful lot of shuttle diplomacy. We only hear little bits about it, but that's been going on. What is your understanding of how many hostages might still be, where they might be, what progress might be made in achieving their release?
There are 134 hostages. The number of how many of them are dead is not clear. The official Israeli figure of those who have been declared dead by Israel is around 34. Hamas has said that more than 70 of them are dead. I've heard behind the scenes talk in Israel that 50% of them are dead, which is along the lines of what Hamas is saying. We don't know. We assume that the majority of them are underground in bunkers between Khan Yunus and Rafah in the last 20% of the Gaza Strip that hasn't had a major land invasion by Israel. They are probably being used as human shields around the Hamas leadership. There's no guarantee. In fact, I think quite the opposite of what Israel says, that military pressure will release the hostages. I believe that military pressure will get them killed. There was this past week an Egyptian-Qatari offer put on the table, which, according to what's been reported, the Israeli delegation that was in Cairo at the beginning of the week accepted. And officially, we're waiting for an answer from Hamas. I received a communication from Hamas, someone in Hamas yesterday, who said that the Israeli offer or the Qatari-Egyptian offer is not serious and Israel is just wasting time. That was an unofficial Hamas response. Maybe an official response will come today.
As you say, nearly 6 months of war. Has Hamas been defeated by the IDF yet? It doesn't look like it.
Well, Hamas no longer controls about 80% of the Gaza Strip. But this is not a standing army of a country. This is a guerrilla-based warfare right now. And even if Israel destroyed most of the brigades, the formal brigades of Hamas, they are engaging in insurgency. They can pop out of tunnels, which still exist all over the place, and shoot RPGs at Israeli tanks and Israeli soldiers. The amount of Israeli casualties in this war from October 7th is 600. We don't know how many of the 32,000 plus minus of the casualties in Gaza are combatants or Hamas and Islamic Jihad fighters. I've heard some estimations that it's around 13,000 of the 32,000, but we don't really know because Hamas doesn't identify them as soldiers or combatants.
And the looming famine, again, some of the images of children in hospital literally starving. And without resources, without food. World Central Kitchen, their aid operation, now suspended after those strikes. They were there because the IDF didn't want to work with UNRWA in a lot of cases. So the aid flow that's so desperately needed is now more squeezed than ever. And the famine that's looming, it's unimaginable, isn't it? But it's happening.
It's horrific. It's horrific. It's catastrophic. I assume that they will resume their work. An American aid organization that works closely with them, ANIRA, American Near East Refugee Aid, also suspended their work. It was reported also that the United Arab Emirates, which is the primary supplier of medical and food aid to Gaza, was suspending its work on what the Israelis called the humanitarian corridor, which is the road on where those three vehicles were attacked. The Israelis have issued a preliminary report. They're expected to release a full report of what happened, what went wrong, why what happened. I assume that the international community is not going to abandon the Palestinians in their greatest moment of need, and I expect that the aid will continue. If not, it's really catastrophic, and it'll be one of the worst famine crises that we've seen in modern history.
Thank you for talking to us this morning. That's Gershon Baskin, Middle East Director of the International Communities Organization and former peace negotiator.